All right, CKLN listeners, we're back. We're here with Kevin P. Miller, director of Generation RX. These are some of the perils of live radio. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Kevin P. Miller at kevinmiller.com directed Generation RX about the drugging of our children. Grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, was a politically active young man helping to raise money for food banks. Directed a film called Kids in Crisis about the kids in crisis and is still working on that today. Kevin P. Miller, are you with us here on CKLN Radio?
I am, BJ, and you know, it sounds better already, but number two, you know, we can promise your listeners that when I'm in Toronto next, as I am very, very often, that hopefully I can have the pleasure of sitting right next to you and we'll eradicate a lot of these problems.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? It's a pleasure having you on the air live. It's a pleasure having you on the air this morning. I do have a regular fan base that does listen to the show. And for my fan base, I'm using the name Vijay Sarma because of my political aspirations in this city. There's many, many people out there that are looking to get something done in this election year. I am one of them. I'll have more on that later, but just so you know that. And with respect to that, Mr. Kevin P. Miller, when I interviewed you last time, we had an awesome Bill Moyers PBS-style interview. We really broke things down in crystal clear detail. So this interview here, I'd like you to talk a bit about your work, especially about Generation RX and the role of you know, Big Pharma in influencing bad policy, but then get into the reactions you've been getting to your work and the reactions you've been getting to this issue. So just so you know where this is going, we're going to make sure that people understand how other people understand your work so that they can find the best ways to share it, because ultimately that's the goal, because you can make a great film about bad things going on, but we do all want them to stop. Mr. Miller, tell us a bit about Generation RX.
Okay, sure. And before I do that, though, too much, I'd love to, now we got the echo back, but I'd love to tell people about my latest film, The Question of Sovereignty.
And we can go into that first if you'd like. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, you know, that film is about Canada. And, you know, it's basically a film that I thought was very important because, obviously, you know better than I in Canada that we've lurched from the place, from these awful bills that have been introduced in Parliament, from Bill C-51, and then became Bill C-52, and then became Bill C-6. Now, currently, it's Bill C-36. And, you know, I thought it was important to have someone examine the unconstitutional language in the bill, especially parts that, you know, essentially give away Canadian sovereignty to outfits like the World Trade Organization and other groups. And when you ask people why that is, when you ask people, you know, why there would be language in bills that would give away Canadian sovereignty to a group like the World Trade Organization, you get a lot of blank stares. Most people aren't aware that there is actual language in there. So what I tried to do, Vijay, in A Question of Sovereignty, which, by the way, anyone can go see at aquestionofsovereignty.com, you know, I tried to examine the actual language in the bill itself and in these bills. And really what it comes down to is that there's been language that's been placed into legislation. Again, this has been ongoing for 3, 4, 5 years that says, oh, well, we're a member of the World Trade Organization, and we're members of, we signed the agreement called NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and so because we did that, we as Canadian are gentlemen, and we need to honor those agreements. But the underlying question becomes, why indeed would the language exist in these bills over the course of 4 bills? Over the last 4 years, if they weren't actually planning on employing this language, right? So,
right.
This is the more troubling aspect to me on why indeed there would be language that would give up Canadian sovereignty and yield Canadian sovereignty to WTO, to NAFTA, to groups like Codex alimentarius, which just opens the door to this massive sort of even UN-based takeover. In the case of C-36 and C-51 and C-6, it literally could mean that. It could indeed mean that things are done at the World Trade Organization in Geneva or elsewhere, and they're decided in a back room somewhere by 14 or 16 or 18 or 20 people. And then those regulations would circumvent Parliament. They would just jump right over Parliament and become an elemental part of Canadian law without even going through the elected officials. So to me, obviously, I thought that was a very frightening part about this bill, in addition to the other aspects of this bill, which deny what I call medical freedom of choice. And, you know, we should all be able to choose to do vitamins if we want. We should all be able to choose to do, you know, naturopathic medicines if we want. And yet these are the kinds of things that are being denied, or certainly in threat, greater threat of being denied by these kinds of bills.
Absolutely, and there's been a lot of talk about Bill C-51, C-52, C-6, and now C-36, this bill that just won't die to restrict Canadians' access to vitamins, herbs, and supplements, and basically make them available by prescription and give the big pharmacy or big pharma companies a monopoly on providing crappy health care for us without letting us take care of our own. So, Kevin, with respect to this, you know, I watched A Question of Sovereignty. I thought it was fantastic. It's 24 minutes, and it's right. Something that any Canadian, and anybody in the world, really, but any Canadian, obviously, can spend 24 minutes on. You've made it very easy and accessible. One thing that struck me in there about this was that even if we decide to challenge this, apparently in 1982, when Canada's constitution was repatriated, it was repatriated to favor the government in any decisions when it comes to court cases brought up by citizens, or vice versa for that matter. So our legal system is kind of stacked against us to make it more difficult for us to challenge bills like this. Can you tie that in into explaining, you know, our ability to challenge this?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, part of it, PJ, is that this is not exactly how Trudeau envisioned it. As you may or may not know, as a student of history and Canadian history, I mean, Trudeau actually wrote a slightly different bill, actually a significantly different bill, and by the time it went through the political process, it had been watered down and you know, as happens here in the United States and certainly most democracies, by the time the law was actually passed, it had, you know, compromise built on top of compromise. And so what you're referring to is that there is a there are, you know, provisions in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms that actually do defer to government. As a couple of constitutional attorneys I interviewed said, you know, the problem with this deference to government is that it undercuts your rights as a citizen. So when you have a really powerful organization like Health Canada, for example, and that's just mentioning one government entity, of course, you know, their whims, if you will, can get deferred to by judges before the rights of individuals. So there have been a lot of people around Canada who have been saying, well, why should I care about Bill C-36? I mean, there's an argument circulating amongst the health food movement that Bill C-36 doesn't affect supplements, so I'm not going to get involved. Well, I mean, you know, this is not only short-sighted, but it really guarantees the end of health food stores and naturopathic doctors and medical freedom of choice, and as you're referring to, more importantly, in the long run, basic rights and freedoms within Canada. So while Health Canada is pushing the notion that Bill C-36 does not affect health foods and supplements, they are, as usual, only telling part of the story. And Health Canada has consistently, BJ, and we show this in A Question of Sovereignty, you know, they've consistently been conducting guns-drawn raids on health food stores and manufacturers. They'll walk into a manufacturer, let's just say, you know, someone creating multivitamins, And they can literally walk into that company and they can seize the inventory. Or no, just on a suspicion, the floor is dirty. And they can seize the entire inventory and obviously cripple individual businesses. And they've also, in addition to that amazing power that they already have and trying to get more of, they've also orchestrated seizures at homes and businesses of naturopathic doctors like Eldon Dahl out west and many others like him. There's been a lot of raids on health food stores and manufacturers over the last couple of months. And there was one at a health food store called Marigold done about a week or 10 days ago. And you say, oh, well, why should I care? Among the list, I wish I had the address, but you could go on to Health Canada's website and do a search for Marigold, and they will show you the list of what they confiscated. And among the list of what they confiscated, CJ, was vitamin D. So they confiscated vitamin D because it was 1,000 milligrams, and they thought that was too much.
And we get vitamin D from sunlight. I mean, they're going to ban the sun next.
Well, in addition to that, and by the way, I think that's part of we're having the problem when you have your microphone on. Could be part of it. But anyway, you know, the vitamin D conversation is very important because, as you know, the whole H1N1 thing, or actually around the time that we met, we're in the middle of it. And, you know, vitamin D is one of the very important things that you can use to beat off these bad flus. And so here it is, Health Canada, you know, seizing the very substance that could cure millions of Canadians in a worst-case scenario if one of these awful flus actually ever did, you know, occur. So, you know, I created A Question of Sovereignty, as you said before, a 24-minute film. It's aimed not only at focusing attention on Health Canada abuses, but really to create more awareness about some of the frightening legislation that's been going through Parliament over the past few years. And so, again, people can go see that at aquestionofsovereignty.com. And I'd really be honored and thrilled if people would, because I think it shows, first of all, my love for Canada and my love for the Canadian people. I've been coming to Canada since I was a young lad and spent a lot of time on the Trent River in Ontario in a tiny little cottage with my family from that time. And it was, you know, going back to that time that I really developed a great reverence and respect for the Canadian people first and a great love for Canada. So anyone that would grace us by going to aquestionofsovereignty.com and telling me your thoughts, I'd really appreciate that.
Absolutely, and we're speaking with Kevin P. Miller, director of A Question of Sovereignty, Kids in Crisis, Generation RX, a veteran journalist and filmmaker. And, Kevin, I got to let you know that I've got a lot of love for America and for my American brothers and sisters. My father used to drive us all over the United States visiting different relatives in different states. And I travel to Cleveland quite often because it's only a few hours away. And I used to go to baseball games at the Mistake by the Lake and had a great time there in Cleveland with my cousins in Shaker Heights. So, the ties between us are so great. Our people are so similar. And I know that you Americans were also affected by similar attempts to restrict your health freedom as a brilliant commercial with Mel Gibson and other celebrities. In fact, Mel Gibson in this commercial put together by Advocates for American Health Freedom gets rushed by a SWAT team and turns around and goes, guys, it's just vitamins, really, guys. And he gets cuffed and hauled off. So we're starting to see that happening here in Canada and also from what I've heard in the U.S.
Indeed, and that's been a question of sovereignty, part of that, and, you know, I think it's a very powerful thing. Matter of fact, that commercial was unveiled in 1994 as we were encountering some of the worst problems with the Food and Drug Administration, and, you know, that was a critical part, along with my film called Let Truth Be the Bias. It was narrated by Darth Vader, James Earl Jones. feeding back the efforts of the FDA to take away our health freedoms. And, you know, actually, the thing is, Vijay, what we're seeing in Canada right now is very unique because it's based on the game plan of what they did in the United States. I mean, it literally is based on the same game plan. So again, this raises the question about whether or not it's the strings are being pulled by pharma or someone else. And, you know, I think that there's no question that when we beat Big Pharma and turned them back, in 1994, when we created something here, a legislation called DSHE, Dietary Supplement Health Education Act, and when we beat them back at that point, this is where some of this international language came into play. And so what happened was that we literally beat in the Senate of the United States, the vote came up on DSHE, and it was 99-1 in favor of health freedom, if you will, and in favor of access to vitamins. And so when that happened, the drug company said, we're not going to be able to do this anymore. These guys are too educated about vitamins. They're obviously going to stand and defend that, and we just got our butts beat here in the U.S. Senate. So, again, this is where the whole international aspect came into play. They turned the GATT Treaty, a treaty that GATT, General Agreement on Trades and Tariffs, that had been around since World War II, and they turned it into what ultimately became the WTO. And when they turned it into the WTO, all of this language from these free trade bills and all the language from Codex Alimentarius, which is basically a UN-based mission to control the food and water and medicine supply across the globe. All of these aspects, all the language in these bills, started to be given more countenance under the WTO rules. And so, when Canada and the U.S. and when England and Australia, when they join the WTO, basically they are saying, well, if we don't adhere by your rules, then we agree to get fined to the tune of billions of dollars. So in 1994, the seeds were set after the pharma was handed a big defeat here in the U.S., and they decided that, well, I'm not going to try to beat it back in the United States anymore. We've got to do this on an international basis. And that's really what's led us to the point where we are right now. And in Canada, I must say, it is more critical than it's ever been in my lifetime that the citizens understand that they need to fight back. And it's more critical than at any point in time that they either throw the bums out, so to speak, in Parliament, or just bombard them, as we did here in the United States, with the activists who say, no, this is not acceptable. You won't do this in my name. And really get some control over Health Canada, which is a very rogue agency at this point. Under Tony Clement they were, and now under the current minister they are. And the language is so outrageous that you almost can't believe that it is a democratic country when you read the language in some of these bills, which I know most people haven't done.
Yeah, we have advocates here like Ms. D. Nicholson, like lawyer Sean Buckley, who I know is in A Question of Sovereignty, who've talked about crack house style, regulations or legislation where they can treat health freedom providers and providers of natural health supplements like they were crack dealers and attack them that way, as if they were armed, as if they were regularly involved in gang activity. And yet, from my understanding of living in this country for my entire life and interacting with health freedom or health supplement providers on occasion, they're not particularly violent, and they don't need to be arrested with a SWAT team if they need to be arrested at all.
Well, that's a very powerful comment, isn't it? I mean, indeed, you're right. I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is the point where you either seize nation back, or it goes the other way. And there's a lot of people involved in this. There's a woman named Marilyn Nelson, who's now back in the movement, if you will, who 20, 25 years ago was warning about this, and she's from Ontario. And, you know, there is a cool new organization that's being formed in Canada. Of course, you mentioned Sean Buckley, and he has an organization that really is a proponent of lawsuits, of taking Health Canada and others to court. I see the worth of lawsuits. Of course I do, and I respect Mr. Buckley immensely. However, I don't think that those are the action steps we need to take, because in large measure, you're spending $750,000 and with no guarantees, plus you're spreading this lawsuit over a 3 to 5 to 7 year period, and at the end of it, the question will be, here, even if you win, what will change from it? So, for example, we've beaten the FDA through lawsuits, federal lawsuits here in the United States, 3, 4, 5 times. And what the FDA does is just ignore the regulations. So, literally. So, there's a new group that's forming in Canada. It's actually an old group, the world's oldest health freedom organization called the National Health Federation. And NHF Canada is forming as we speak. And Dean Nicholson is one of the executive directors. Marilyn Nelson is another one of the executive directors, and a wonderful woman from BC named Candace Hill is also one of the executive directors. And I believe they're not online yet, but I think they're going to be at nhfcanada.com. So you might want to at least plug in, because the NHF, the National Health Federation, they're actually the only group in the world that has a seat, literally a seat, at the Codex negotiations, Codex Alimentarius, which is, and they are fighting every day, not only on behalf of vitamins and supplements, herbs, et cetera, which I know not everyone cares about, but they're fighting a more elemental fight, and they are fighting for, to keep synthetic pesticides out of foods, and they are fighting to keep water private, which I know is one of Maude Barlow of the Council of Canadians' big causes. Fighting to keep the access to water, public water, as opposed to what's going on now, which is a lot of corporations that are buying the water. And controlling the water, and poisoning Kevin, the water for their own business, and then pumping the toxins back out for the public to consume.
And Kevin, it's amazing. They could have, with $750,000, you could have printed up $750,000 copies of Generation RX and handed them out to people, and just given everybody something to talk about. And from there, we could get angry enough about this in productive ways to reject some of these changes, figure out what they are, petition our politicians. There's many things we can do to get the word out there. I agree with you on the lawsuit thing. I think it's great that we have people that are capable of doing that, but the same legal system that at the highest levels approved this type of corrupt legislation, the same legal system and political system that allows Health Canada to operate in basically the same way 20 years after Dr. Shiv Chopra wrote a book called Corrupt to the Core about how corrupt
right.
Health Canada was. I mean, the major institutions we look at, to trust, have in fact put, a lot of these problems in place. And so, what comes next is sort of not, consistently going back to that well and demanding to drink the government Kool-Aid. Because it's what got us in this mess in the first place, but perhaps it's actually reaching out to other people. And so with that note, just with 10 minutes left and wanting to crystallize some of these ideas, Paul Haggis called the director of Million Dollar Baby and Crash, a Canadian Hollywood director, Paul Haggis, called Generation RX, quote, a powerful and often chilling eye-opener. Many of the stories stayed with me weeks after viewing and continue to haunt me now. And the reason I bring up this quote and this film is that when people understand what's being done to their children and their children's future, with respect to the country they live in, and themselves, just by having, you know, their children affected, because obviously they're connected to their children. So if the children aren't acting right, and you know, you can't just blame the world, and you're going to have to actually live with that and deal with that. So a lot of times people, you know, say, people say to me, people say to people I know, how does it affect me? How does any of this affect me? And when it comes to losing our rights, having governments and court systems and so on act criminal and allow for criminal legislation to take place, and then taking it right down to, you know, yourself and your children, and the you know, misapplication of pharmaceutical drugs that are by and large not proven to work and proven to harm people. What are your thoughts on how people have reacted to this information so far? You've been in a wonderful opportunity that none of us have had to promote this information. Exactly what we're talking about in this interview. So, you know, what have people's reactions been, and what is the reaction being to the activism surrounding this issue?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, and I want to say that, you know, we will, within the next couple of weeks, be next to one another so we can talk about this at length. And I'm sorry to have derailed some of the conversation, because I do want to talk about Generation RS. I agree with you that it should be done at length. So I'll give it my best shot here down the end. I mean, the reaction I've been getting to Generation RX since its release a year and a half ago is really been nothing short of spectacular. It's been inspirational, really. And I, you know, as I travel around North America and Europe with the film, what is the most touching is, of course, to hear the stories of individual people, and oftentimes tragic stories, and to have people come up to me and say, I didn't think anyone understood, I thought I was the only one, this kind of thing. And basically, as you know, what I did in the film was, again, just shine a bright light on the actual language in some of the FDA communications about the psychiatric medications that they're giving to our children. And I exposed things that were hidden from the public view, because my view was that in order to make such a critical decision for one's children, or, you know, for oneself, for that matter, that you really need the entire breadth of information that's available. And I'll tell you what, since we, you know, VJ, your edit that you've put together on our interview from last fall is brilliant. It's a 10-minute interview, and we talk a lot of specifics about Generation RX in that edit. So I would highly advise people to go watch that as sort of a primer until you and I are together.
Yeah,
but
Kevin,
one of the things
people
we've done here in the U.S. is to say, you know, just demand that this information be put out there. And I, again, this is all part of the process. Sometimes people say to me, "Oh, well, your film shows a lot of the problems and sometimes it doesn't show the solutions." Well, documentary filmmakers are not supposed to be the people that bring all the solutions forth, especially when you're talking about murky areas like the drugging of children. I mean, the answers, the solutions are as diverse as one can imagine, from, you know, getting rid of the pro-medicine in schools across America and North America, to honestly reexamining the science, to our regulatory bodies holding their feet accountable for their collusion and all of this, etc. So, you know, it's important to recognize that this important part of the process is the education part. And until one knows what the real deal is, then you can't act. So whether it's a question of sovereignty, or whether it's Generation RX, you know, I present the information to people, hopefully in a very clear and concise way, so that they can understand these very complicated issues, or in the, you know, or very complicated legislation, or the history of what's been going on over the past 20 years. And then once you're armed with the information, then personal accountability comes into play. So it's like, well, now you know. Now what?
Absolutely. Oh. And people can see the interview that we did, which is edited by Stephen Davies for pressfortruth.ca at pressfortruth.ca. It's about 10 minutes long, and it ends with you saying, Steve edited, obviously, but the interview and the clip ends with you saying, you know, people need to get active, and if the politicians won't do it, we got to throw them out. It is an election year here in the city of Toronto. That means all of our city councilors are up for election, and of course, the mayor is up for election. David Miller is no longer standing. With respect to that, you know, what have the reactions been of people who we petitioned? So let's just say hypothetically, you know, we get informed and we find ways to, you know, share this information with people. Maybe we don't, you know, argue with them or talk to them or try and get into every depressing thing that, you know, we figured out and were able to handle because, you know, we could do that in our own time. But we pass on a copy of Generation RX. We grab a DVD from you at kevinmiller.com where there's a link to the site where you can purchase it. And then they pass it on to a relative or a friend. And then when they say, if you want to talk to me about this, please do. And then they get together. And there's a few of them that get together. And then they decide to petition their politicians. I'd like to know, you know, what's the reaction been of people in power if we actually decide to get active in our communities and work in small lobbies, much like the large lobbies do, to lobby for their interests. If we decide to form lobbies and we decide to bug the system, how does the system and how do influential people react to being petitioned with respect to this information?
Well, I think, number one, politicians hold. If you've got a group of or a community of individuals who are well-reasoned, again, educated, and they approach their local MP or other individuals, and they say, we just saw this film. These are the facts we learned. We want action. They will act. That's number one. Number two, you raise a great point, and that is that, you know, I often encourage people when they watch the film to use this as their entree, if you will, their beginning of the conversation with school officials, whether it's on the local level, the county level, the provincial level, what have you. And, you know, again, you are now armed with these facts. This is your protection. So if someone in a school, whether it's a teacher or a principal, a headmaster, comes to you and says, you know, we think your child has ADHD, and we think you should go see a pediatrician about possibly getting ADHD drugs. Well, no. I am armed with facts now. I don't have to do that. I don't have to bend before you. So there's lots of things that hopefully, VJ, when I'm in Toronto in a couple of weeks, that you and I will indeed be able to talk about at length, and I'd be thrilled to do so. You know, I mean, there are a lot of things. But just know that whether it's A Question of Sovereignty.com, that film, or Generation RX, that those films were produced to empower you and to give you the information you need to fight back.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. And people need to understand that you've done all the hard work. You know, you did all the research. There are many people out there doing brilliant work. There are whistleblowers risking their lives and their careers, and there are journalists like yourself who spend a year, 2 years compiling information, researching, and then going out and promoting the film, which you can find at generationrxfilm.com. And, of course, A Question of Sovereignty, which we made for free, which is a 24-minute film, you know, on behalf of a country you love, Canada. And there seems to be nothing more selfless that you can do than to actually make a film to defend another country.
Well, I love the people of Canada, as I said, and you've become one of my favorite interviewers, and I love the integrity that you put forth on a daily and weekly basis, and you know, I'm really thrilled to be with you. Sorry we had our technical problems throughout this, but, you know, again, I'd be really thrilled and honored if you'd let me in the studio here in a couple of weeks, and we can really go to town on these issues and try to help people connect with the information that they really need. Because, again, as you say, we're not making a dime off of aquestionofsovereignty.com, and that was indeed or the film called A Question of Sovereignty. And, you know, so use it. You know, one of the things that I'm excited to tell you is that at the end of September, that I'm going to be in town again, because I'm the Toronto chapter of a council, the Council of Canadians is having me in town to speak about the film and about these issues. And again, that will align with the October elections that you're referring to. So, you know, I'm going to be in Canada every 3 or 4 weeks now, from now to the end of the year at least. And so it gives us plenty of opportunity to hopefully get together, you and I, and also to have gatherings with people where they can come out and watch A Question of Sovereignty and then ask really tough, pointed questions. And as you know, I'll stay until the rooster crows the next morning. So I'm really appreciative of the opportunity that you provided me, BJ, and you do such a great job every day.
Well, I appreciate that, Kevin. I think that all we do is we try and aim for something, and aim to be better people than we are. And if we slip, we slip on occasion. And if in the aggregate we get better at this, then I think you know, we're all better for it. And on that note, I have a final question for you. I've met you. You're a big, strapping, you know, man. You're a man's man. You're a jock with brains, and damn sexy, if I might add. And I gotta ask you a question. As a man who understands, you know what's going on with respect to corporate corruption threatening all of us, threatening women, children, and the elderly in our cultures worldwide, and as a man who understands history and who understands how every time a tribe, perhaps the Cleveland Indians, perhaps the Toronto Blue Jays, every time a tribe was attacked by another tribe, it was often the men who stepped up to defend that tribe. And so I'd like to ask for your thoughts on that. I'm not saying that, you know, we're not getting in any individual's face, but as a philosophical idea and as a philosophical principle, men who can possibly lift heavier things could possibly handle some of this heavier information with respect to how we've been socialized today on behalf of women, children, and the elderly. Because if guys are scared to deal with this, I can only imagine how they feel and how they feel about the looming threat of corporate and government corruption that's sort of lurking all around us.
Wow. Well, listen, I think that part of it is that, you know, Canada and Canadians are gentle ladies, if you will. So even, of course, more so than the United States. And it's part of what I absolutely love about Canada and about Canadians is that they're not so ostentatious, and they are more grounded, and they're real, and they're not filled with vitriol that I see all the time in the United States. So that's number one. I think that, you know, I've met some amazingly powerful women in my life and over the course of this work. And a lot of it starts with Generation RX. I mean, you know, Generation RX, there's a woman named Matthew Milling Downing that's in the film who lost her 11-year-old daughter to suicide while she was on Zoloft. And, you know, there are some amazing women in Canada, throughout Canada, that I interviewed for A Question of Sovereignty. And, you know, one of them is Candace Hill, who has you know, First Nations blood in her and is very much an activist. And Maude Barlow is obviously a very exceptional woman. I think the overall question and how to answer that, really, VJ, is that, you know, it's one thing to be polite and to be civil. That has it's a wonderful place in our societies and in Canada. But there comes a time when each of us must stand or fall, and when each of us must take a stand, or we're just signing on the bottom line, we're signing away our personal sovereignty and the fate of our families and the fate of our nation. And this is one of those times. And over the course of this election that you're talking about, and over the course of the next 3 to 5 years, to 7 years, to 10 years, every day someone has to do that work, has to step up and do that work. Every day someone has to educate their brothers and sisters in a subtle and respectful way that these are the issues. This is what's going on. And again, you know, that's why I do films the way I do. I'm not a big fan of conspiracy theorists. I'm not a big fan of of people that will make all kinds of charges and then have nothing to say or show to back them up. So in Generation RX and in the question of sovereignty, I really try to just put the facts out there before the people. And it's not conjecture. It is fact. And so once one is confronted with the information, the question becomes, what does one do?
I agree, Mr. Kevin P. Miller at kevinmiller.com. And I got to say, in fairness, that it's a long, complicated question. I kind of stuck you with it at the end there, so I apologize. I can name 25 women doing a brilliant job on a number of issues, most of them better than you or I, perhaps. I mean, there is
right.
An amazing possibility in individuals. But as a collective, I'm just of the old school where I'd love to see a bunch of guys just kind of rush Health Canada and say, look, we're not going to put up with this. We're not going to put up with this. And as a gang, you know, if we form a soccer wall around our children when you try and drug them and we have to go through any physical confrontations, that's what we do. And if somebody breaks into my house, then I'm responsible for scrapping on behalf of my wife and kids. And while individuals, both male and female, and even young and old, can break through and do spectacular things, my intention is to definitely push the idea that guys like us should be guys and have fun and have a beer, but, you know, at the same time, take a break and kick some corporate butt when we need to. Kevin P. Miller, I want to thank you so much for your time and wish you a great rest of the day, and we'll see you in Toronto when you get here.
Sounds great, BJ. Thanks for the chance, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. And that was Kevin P. Miller, director of Question of Sovereignty, Generation RX, and many more films at kevinmiller.com. Apologize for the technical difficulties, but we can play through that, and we did. Next up, Mr. Bill Watson with some brilliant jazz for you, a jazz bungee experience. You will not forget, so do stick around. And have a great day, folks. You can check my blog, blackchristian.blogspot.com, for more details of this, where I'll post some more links to Mr. Miller's work and more. Have a fantastic day. Don't give up the fight.